Help, pound away.
Okay.
After like 30
okay, we're starting.
Yeah, so I've been kind of hanging around with Daddy, so I don't get the wrong.
All right, Steve.
Hello.
We're starting.
Hello.
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm calling the December 12th, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lundin's running late. President Underdunk?
Yes.
And it's 6:01.
Okay. Okay, now we're moving on to the consent agenda. Items A through C are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? I don't hear anything. Okay, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second that.
Yes, I need first. So moved and then a second.
Oh, I so moved.
Second. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm like,
roll call.
I'll keep on my line. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdog?
Yes. Okay. We have a few members from the public here. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. We will take matters under advisement. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per person. And who wants to go first? Please identify yourself and your address and speak.
And did you guys sign in?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. Scott, you want to go first? Whoever wants to go first.
Well, okay, a question. Scott Padiak, 1170 Terrace Court, just up the street. I'm confused. This agenda doesn't agree with what was on the website. On the website, it said we talk about playground design. Is that true?
No, that was a committee meeting last week.
Okay.
Last week.
Okay, good. So no talk about playground tonight.
Yeah.
I'll just address the issue. I sent an email. I tried to send an email to all you folks. I sent it out Saturday. This is about the relocation of the bike racks here in the parking lot.
We saw that.
Okay.
I saw that.
Yeah, quick show of hands.
Yeah.
We all got it.
We
all got it. Great, because it's my first time sending it to the park board, and I'm not sure if I got all the questions right. Good. So I've learned that the consultant you hired advises to put the bike racks at the dumpsters, which I'd like to call your attention. In my email, at the very end, there's a URL to a publication which the Active Transportation Alliance uses in their recommendations for design of bike rack siting, right? And I would recommend that you folks look at that, because it would be evident, if you do look for those guidelines, that your consultant did not, or if they did, chose not to follow those, because in all the bullet points that the guideline does suggest, their recommendation fails, right? And you might have seen, I've shown pictures in the email about where better parking would be, ideal parking. You have a golden opportunity for ideal parking that scores very high on all best industry practice points.
Okay.
So please do.
Thank you.
That.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Understand this has been referred to our consultant for the consideration.
Yes.
Yes.
We are just starting the planning process now, so that's been referred. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Next.
Thank you. Elsewhere, Shawpenny, 91 Sheridan Road. Also, just nearby. I'm here to support Scott and his ideas about bike parking. Very important. Thank you very much for considering them, and also for taking into account that there isn't one at the front entrance for the children who go to the early learning centre. So thank you very much for taking that into account too. Bike is very much appreciated.
Thank you. Okay, no other members of the public. Okay. Well, let's move on then. Let's have a financial report.
Yes, we are now 9 months into the fiscal year. I did notate on there that rec program revenues are obviously down by a large amount, only because registration last year happened on November 30th. Thus, they were in November's numbers. December won't show until next month's financial report. So it's a little hard to make the apples-to-apples comparison on that. Everything else is consistent with or up over the prior 2 years. We did make our bond and interest our principal and interest payments in December. They're due December 1, so you'll notice total net cash position is down quite a bit, over $1 million, and that is related to the bond payment. So.
Excuse me for just one moment.
Yeah.
Typically, when folks make their comment, they usually run for the door. You are absolutely and listen to all the comments tonight.
I'm staying here because I thought you were going to talk about the playgrounds, which I have a keen
interest. No, that was on that was on the special projects committee agenda.
Okay. So there's nothing that we're going to hear. It's going to be much. It looks like a pretty dry meeting.
We personally think it's riveting, but you may not. So we know there's.
I just wanted to mention whatever you feel like the announcement designs will post. You go out and slap yourself in the face.
We'll take that as an invitation to.
Why did he do that after my report?
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for that interruption.
No, it's okay.
You did it after my report, too, Steve.
Well, that was the fascinating one. That was the fascinating one. I was ready for your report.
No, I have nothing other than that unless you have any questions to ask.
All right. There we go.
So we're not only on target, we're a little ahead of things.
Won't know until...
We don't know for recreation programs, but all the other ones are right in line. We're ahead in the daycare department, so that's a good sign.
Great.
You can see the three-year comparisons.
Yes.
We're pretty right on where we've been the last 8 months of the year.
Okay. How about some staff reports?
Well, we put the reports in our board packet. We really don't have anything to add, so we're prepared to answer any questions that you may have so that we can... We know we have a full agenda today, so... Any questions
for any of us
at the table?
The safety and wellness meeting went well and everything.
Yes. Yes. I love that you asked
I'm always concerned. I just want to know that you guys are handling things in the way, the professional, compassionate way you always do.
We do, yes. Thank you.
You're doing a lot
like that.
Oh, you're a pushover.
Any other questions? All right.
Other questions? Okay. Executive Director report.
I really nothing to add either unless you have any questions.
It's probably in here, but was there any update on the schedule of the parking lot now that we're taking the tanks out? I don't know if that was in here.
So the tanks were removed, and you want to?
Yeah, so the tanks were removed yesterday. We have backfilled. At this point, we've taken final soil samplings, which will be analyzed in a laboratory. And once those meet the criteria set out by the state, we can close the permit with the state. So we've taken the initial soil samplings, we've removed the tanks, we've backfilled the holes, we took out the soil that the engineering firm felt was needing to be taken out, and now we're just waiting for the final check the box to close the state permit. So
the skate park parking lot is now open, but
correct.
The back is not open to staff yet. So
did you try taking a lit match to any of the dirt?
You know, honestly, Steve, it wasn't that concerning. I mean, you know, for the age of the tanks, we did find that they were compromised as evaluated by the state fire marshal. The professionals who do this every day said things like, this isn't bad, this is very normal, so it was good to see that.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions?
Didn't burn too bright.
No. No, there was no opportunity to save on our energy costs.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions?
We had the new event. My nanny took my kids because I couldn't go, but... She said it was good.
Which one was that?
The gingerbread. I was wondering what our response was.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was a great event. Yeah,
we had 24. We had 12 pre-registered and 12 turn up on the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very successful. We actually had 101 at the teen skate night on Friday night, which was incredible. To watch that 101
teenagers. Isn't that outstanding?
Yeah, it's middle school. It's basically 6 through 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Could you do another one of those?
We are doing another one.
Great.
This was 1 month planned, right?
What's that?
Is there one a month planned?
There's two planned for the winter. It's challenging to find the ice time for it because that ice time's in high demand on
Friday night.
So we've got two scheduled, one for each month. Last year, we We had one council due to really bad weather with the rink closing with due to the high temperatures. But yeah, we
It's not really one.
How do you find two Fridays then that you can do it on?
We plan ahead. We've already got them signed up.
So you just, those people who rent it, they just can't rent those nights.
We block it off.
So Friday nights are generally open to private rentals.
Yeah.
Most games do like later on Friday nights. So we have a public, we actually introduced a new public skate this year. 5:30 on a Friday because
really
residents
nice.
Wanted to do it before before dinner time. So we have a lot of people come up from 5:30 to 6:30, then go home for dinner. So we do it. We bumped public skate over to the studio rink and then put the teens on the main rink. So we were still able to accommodate public skate without sacrificing the later ice time, which is the expensive ice too. So it's a juggling act with ice.
It sounds very challenging.
It was a really successful event, so.
Yep.
But to be able to serve that population in any way, I think, has to be looked at as a priority. I think it's phenomenal that you've got 110 people there. I think that's fantastic.
Can I ask another question about the MFSRA?
Yes.
So does that mean if they make an agreement with Northbrook, that all of the programming is there?
No, absolutely not. So what? Because it was before you came on the board, that, and Craig, the executive director, will come do a presentation to the board as this progresses. They have their offices are right now located in an industrial park, which makes it really dangerous for like the kids that get dropped off there to take the bus to different locations. So no, they will continue to use all the facilities, including ours, which is used heavily. But now they'll have a gym, so they'll have some more flexibility for some athletic programs. Gyms obviously are the hardest things in. So it's mostly their office space, little programming space, and sharing gym space with Northbrook.
Okay.
That's a good question. And as it proceeds, they'll come and make a presentation to the board. So it's really exciting. They already have a commitment of a $1 million donor. So that's great.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Any other comments? No?
Good questions.
Okay. We'll move on then to our action items. I think there was a report in your agenda packet. I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 877, an ordinance establishing an updated sexual harassment policy for the Glencoe Park District in order to comply with Public Act 100-0554 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
So moved. Second.
Did you want to say anything?
You know what? This is just state legislator passed the ordinance to update our sexual harassment policy. We have no issues with our park district. In fact, our policy was very strong before, so it's just been tweaked a little bit.
Modernized a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So this had to be passed by state law by January 5th. 15th. Thank you. Sorry. So we have no issues, but it's nice just to, and we'll pass it out to staff and do training again just to make sure everybody's on the same page as the administrative staff.
How often do you do training on that?
I mean, once a year.
Once a year, mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, we do it with managers in our lunch and learns, and then we touch on it at our staff all staff training in the summer. And for our all staff training, it also goes in as far as customers, that we don't allow customers to harass our staff either.
Right, right.
Great. Okay. Then roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, and now we're going to move on to the strategic plan workshop. See, I have another visitor from the public. Is that right?
No, the reporters.
Reporter. Oh, they're both reporters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Okay.
I don't know why.
All right, so, the
state. So I want to introduce Barbara Heller. She's our consultant. As you all know, you all met her and talked with her before, but for the reporters. I'm going to turn it over to her.
Can't see.
I can turn down the lights.
We can turn
Yeah,
you.
I can.
Some romantic lighting.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good, but I hope nobody falls asleep.
No. Get light on the borders back here.
It's easier to see.
No.
Well, I'd actually like to start off by talking about playground design. Just kidding. what I have planned for this evening, talking a little bit about just an overview of strategy. I've been doing strategic planning for quite some time. And it's really a hobby of mine. I've always been very interested in strategy and what a difference creating strategic direction can have on an organization. Then we'll look at mission, vision, values. And then from the focus group work that I did with board, with staff, identified just what were some of the recurring themes in terms of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And then I'll talk a little bit about the framework for strategy that I like to use. And then possibly, if we have time, work a little bit on development of strategic themes. So one thing I always like to take a look at, this is from the Malcolm Baldrige Criteria for Organizational Excellence. They have like 7 different criteria for performance excellence, and one of them is devoted to strategy. So whenever I'm involved in doing strategy, I always like to take a look at these elements. There are really 2 different pieces to strategy. One is the development side and one is the deployment side. Most organizations are very good on the development side, but really lousy on the deployment side. Research suggests that anywhere from 75 to 85% of all strategic planning efforts are failures. So I always appreciate the fact that I'm spending my time in an endeavor that has such a high failure rate. And that is why, for me, I really try to pay attention to what is required to successfully implement a plan. So those are some things we'll take a look at. You know, what are the short and longer term planning horizons? How do we address different mechanisms? And I have another slide about that later. You know, what are our key objectives, our timeline? And then how do we balance the need for innovation as well as in the public sector, balancing the needs of stakeholders is something that's very, very complex because there's usually so many different competing interests. And one thing, too, I always like to mention is a strategic plan in the park and recreation world is different than a master plan. To me, a master plan really deals more with the physical assets, the bricks and mortar, the services, whereas when we look at strategy, it's more about the leadership infrastructure. And when you think about the strategic direction of an organization from a leadership perspective, where is it that we want to go? And then on the deployment side, you know, what are our action plans? Do we have the available resources to be able to do it? And then we also need to account for change because something that we have identified as a priority today, 12 months from now, might be totally different. And then human resource plan, what do we need to do in terms of number of staff, type of staff, competencies that we currently don't have that we might need to plan for? Key performance measures in the public sector, measurement of performance is something that continues to be a really hard nut to crack, but we'll create some measures that will help monitor the progress of the plan. And then connecting employees with the plan. I've done quite a bit of research about organizations, those that are successful versus those that are not, and one of the ingredients for success is making sure that there's really good connection to employees in not only the development of the plan, but also the deployment of the plan. So just based on the experience I've had with strategy and looking at park and recreation type of strategic plans, some of the things that I see, number one is making it strategic and not tactical. When I read a park and recreation, park district strategic plan, by and large, it ends up being extremely tactical. You know, it's really reaching low-hanging fruit and not looking at a broader strategic direction of an organization. It's best to start at an organizational level. There are some park and recreation agencies that I work with where they'll have recreation, parks, planning, business, all do their own individual plan, smash it together, and here's our strategic plan. And it doesn't work that way. It needs to start at an organizational level. And then I've also found, too, need to really take into account organizational workload, paying attention to organizational rhythm. That there's some organizations that it's really tough to bite off much because there's so much project work going on. So we want to be sensitive to the current workload. And what I have found that's interesting about strategy is when an organization just begins the process of being good at strategy. At first, it seems like we're doing extra work. But as time goes on, and Elmhurst Park District comes to mind as a park district that's been doing strategic planning for a decade or so, it's really built into the way they do work. They don't consider it necessarily to be extra work because it's just the way they do business. And then there's no need to have 1,000 strategies. That's something else I see with strategic plans, that some people think that the best strategy are those that have 20 pages worth of initiatives. There was a park system outside of Washington, D.C. They came up with a 400-page strategic plan with 100 pages worth of strategies. And if I were the director of that organization, I think I'd just cut and run.
Crawl and ball cry.
What's that?
What'd you say?
Maybe the Treasury Department could hire that person now.
Yes, yes, right. And then it's important to measure success. It's really important to institutionalize the process so that there's an ongoing way that we're going to look at strategy. It really becomes operationalized. Success is dependent upon employee engagement, looking at it annually, seeing if we need to adjust anything, and then also measuring results. So that was just sort of an overview, strategy 101. Next thing we wanted to do is talk a little bit about the mission statement. And in talking to staff, the mission statement was just created recently. So I know from staff's feeling, they're feeling like the mission statement is good, but we wanted to review it and see if there's any tweaks to it. Mission statement describes the overall purpose, helps to set the boundaries, is a starting point in developing a shared vision. And the elements of the mission statement, we exist to, for, in order to, so that. So what is the purpose, who the customers are, what are the services offered, and what are the long-term outcomes. And some of the attributes of a successful mission statement: simple and clear, succinct, distinguishes from others, inspires growth and change, long-term in nature, and easy to understand and communicate. So, for Glencoe, this is the existing mission statement: enriching lives and creating memorable experiences by providing exceptional services, parks, programs, and facilities. So is it up to date, and do you feel as though the mission is relevant to constituents? So any comments?
Do you want us to address it right now, or do you have more presentation? No, address it as we go along is better.
So yeah, any thoughts or comments on the mission? And I don't know, Lisa, if you wanted to talk a little bit about what we did a few years ago.
Yeah, well, we did. I think there's three of you that weren't on the board. We took a group of full-time, part-time, and two commissioners. So I think it was Andre and Hillary, I believe, were the two commissioners sitting on the and we did brainstorm meetings. I think for two different meetings, really talking about what we believed our mission was and what we thought our purpose was. And this is, as a team of all different levels, came up with this mission statement.
So yeah, any comments? Does that resonate with you? Any thoughts about it? I know Steve is nodding yes.
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was an inspirational mission statement. Covers the right ground.
Okay. Yeah, anybody else?
The language seems a little...
passive? Passive structure bothers me. So
okay,
go ahead. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because you're sort of waiting to say something. No, please. No. I apologize. No.
Grammar aside, which I second Lisa's comment, but
yeah,
I think it's accurate in terms of content.
Okay. May I ask what memorable experiences mean to people? Because to me that sort of sounds like someone's trying to come up with something. Because memorable experiences are not necessarily positive. You know, memorable experiences are things, you know, that stick in mind.
We all can remember some memorable experiences that were not so great.
You know, that just, doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think by creating memorable experiences, by providing exceptional services, we're saying that we're providing the services, therefore the memories
positive.
Would be positive. So, and memories could be anything. It could be playing catch with your son in at the field, or walking down to the beach, or joining a special event.
Okay, so I choose memorable over something like positive experiences.
Because you weren't on the board then.
Thank you. Okay. All right. That's it. I don't want to dig
well,
in. It
well, tell
really
me a little more about what yeah. you said initially about the passive.
Well, I feel badly because I did interrupt you. So no, I feel like you should be allowed to just say what you were going to say.
If you want to hit her with a 2x4, Dudley, she's giving
no,
you.
No, I had a chance to, you know, we're at our semester break, so I had a chance to really think about this, and there were sort of two things I wanted to think about. Maybe part of it's my age, but somehow I thought of rewording part of this, and let me put up this trial balloon. Mission statement, to build a culture of excellence that enriches lives and builds social bonding by providing exceptional services, parks, programs, and facilities. And the two ideas there, one is the excellence that we want to do very, very good work. And this other idea is the aspect of community. Mm-hmm. And I feel that parks bring people together and help to foster community. And you know, so many of us, I know for many years I worked outside the community, and we don't have a big industrial base or commercial base, and the people are away.
Right.
And so when they get together, how they're going to meet people is through either works with the religious institutions or mm-hmm. committees or mm-hmm. in parks.
Right.
And so, I don't know, just an idea I wanted to put out. So the concept, and I'm not sure that this social bonding sounds real California.
Yeah, it's like that. Would you mind writing what you have up on the whiteboard?
If you can read my writing. I have Aaron, arthritis.
Would you mind writing? She's so much better writer than me.
Aaron's going to write it for you.
Okay. So where did you learn all this?
Her writing's better than mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, tell me.
I was in the hallway for most of English for 4 or 5 years.
One of the reasons we used to have a mission statement, and I couldn't tell you what it was, but it was so long, no one could remember it.
Right.
And so one of our main purposes was to keep the mission statement short so that people could remember it, like
Absolutely.
Staff, because you want staff to buy into your mission statement, really believe what you're doing, and so it has to speak to the staff that work there also, and it has to be short and memorable, you know. So
to eliminate the passive structure, you would just say to enrich lives and create memorable experiences through exceptional services, parks, etc.
Exactly.
So it's that, but shorter and punchier because you get rid of the IN.
You just take two enrich lives and create.
What I always tell my staff when I'm correcting their passive language is, who did it? Like, things don't just happen.
Yes, it's
a bad thing. So if I were to rewrite this, I think the content's great. I would say we enrich lives by creating memorable experiences.
Oh, yeah.
We enrich lives and create memorable experiences by providing. And so that's the park district. It doesn't just happen.
Our mission is to enrich. I might say to enrich lives, and see, we're never going to get off of this. This is the problem.
Yeah,
so I would say that's essentially it. Get rid of that passive structure.
See, we enrich lives and
I would say to enrich lives, but we is fine.
To create memorable experiences by providing the rest is okay.
No, get rid of all the to enrich lives and create memorable experiences through exceptional services, parks, etc. So it says the same thing, but it just. It's more direct, a little punchier, and it says it's the action that we're doing, not the action that they're doing.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good point.
Okay, we'll wait for a second for this to get
out. Okay, and her writing is much better than mine.
Okay. And can you write up one more?
Yep. Aaron, go for it. Got it written?
Yeah,
you're
drawing a different color.
She's so much better writing than mine, too.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Okay. We enrich or to enrich?
I think
we.
She likes two.
She likes it. One likes two, and one likes we.
Two is fine.
Two is fine.
Hold on. What's your mission? Your mission is this.
And if you wanted to put in what Dudley's saying, but it might make it too long, you could just do an additional comma To enrich
like
lives,
social bonding.
Build community.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I would totally do that.
That's
okay. I would.
To build a community?
Build
yeah.
Community, yeah.
To enrich lives. At the end?
Enrich lives, comma, build community, comma.
Oh, yeah. Build life. Oh, you already got it. Look at you.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that better than like social bonding. Okay. That kind of bothers me.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, it bothered me a little bit too. But I'm like,
social, yeah, in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's you just had your training.
It seems as though there's some consensus around
fine.
Revised version incorporating some of the elements.
Yeah.
It doesn't change it too much then, and we can just tweak it.
It wasn't meant to be a finished thing.
No.
Yeah, no, usually you were going away from that positive, memorable experiences.
Create memorable. No, that's fine.
Great.
Yeah, leave it. Memorable. Everyone likes memorable. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, so whenever I do mission stuff, to me, a lot of times it's like nails on a chalkboard because if you get different opinions, different people. So what I always like to do is like get something up on the board and then think a little bit about it, see if it still makes some sense. But there was a lot of good consensus around this one. So we'll capture these in the notes, and then we can discuss them further if we need to. But those were nice improvements, I think. Okay. Yeah. Somebody needs to take a picture of this for me. Okay. All righty.
I like the build community better than social bonding.
Social bonding. Yeah, that sounds.
That's very California.
Is it?
I got inspired from a publication that the folks in Palo Alto put together. That's their language.
Alrighty. So we'll move on to vision. So vision's more aspirational, discusses ideal future. It answers the question, what impact do we want to have on society? It's hard to read. Unites an organization in a common, coherent strategic direction. And then the last bullet is about just getting a sense of organizational purpose, that employees think they're about building a cathedral, not about laying bricks or stone. It's really the big picture. Some attributes of successful vision: it should be concise, appeal to all stakeholders. Is it verifiable? Is it feasible? Inspirational? And it really paints a picture through words. So the Glencoe Park District vision, as it is currently, we are committed to become the most innovative, customer-driven, and fiscally responsible park district for current and future generations. So any questions, comments about the existing vision?
And I think that addresses what it is we're trying to do very well.
I don't know about
the grammar of it, but...
Say that again, Steve.
You can probably just flip it.
I can't speak to the grammar, but it certainly states very clearly what I hope we're trying to do every day.
Yeah, okay.
What I believe we are doing every day.
I don't disagree with Steve, but I'm not a big fan of it for a different reason.
And what would the different reason?
Maybe you'll address this in a different part of this planning process, Barbara.
Yes.
To me, what we just talked about is the mission, as well as this vision, are sort of one's externally focused on what we do for our clients, and the other one's kind of internally focused on how we do it. What I find more helpful in the strategic plan that I help my clients with is specifically what are you going to leave different 5 years from now than is the case now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't disagree with anything that's on here.
Yes.
And I think we're good at this and we should remain good at this.
Yes.
But I would kind of like to know, 5 years from now when we're looking back, what's going to be different than it is today?
Yeah, okay. Do you have any thoughts to what that would be?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't think it's, I'd be interested in other people's opinion. Maybe they don't agree with that as a vision statement, but, if I were a member of the staff, or I was Lisa, and I obviously can't speak for you guys, but my guess would be you kind of want to know what your priorities are other than just doing what has always been done.
Got it. Okay.
Good point. Any other comments? And you guys feel free to chime in too.
What do you, what do you want from us on this? Do you want
just any thoughts? No, not necessarily. No, for now, I'm just interested in having some conversation about it. If there's some key words or phrases that you can think of, I don't really anticipate walking out of here with a fully refined vision statement, because to me, I think it's good to go through a couple iterations and keep it evolving, improving as the process goes on. So yeah, you don't need to come up with a statement, but just some thoughts similar to what Josh said. If there's other
thoughts
about that. Are we
talking about outcomes then, 5 years out?
Well, one of the reasons I qualified what I said is maybe there's a different part of your process where you're going to handle this. Is maybe there's a different part, but
yeah,
to me, the vision and the mission, and I've had this debate with people before, is a vision and a mission, are they really any different? Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of, vision and mission are kind of synonymous. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have two different ones, you might as well, in my view, have one be not tactical,
right,
but concrete in terms of what's going to be different.
Yes, okay.
Interesting. I like that. Differentiation, but
like
I don't know what it would be either. I don't like become. I think it's be. We're committed to be the most. I mean, become is just a sort of like at some point in the future.
That's true.
Yeah, we're going to think about it, work on it. I think we're committed to be this. Mm-hmm. You know, we strive to
it was
be
become
this.
The last time you guys talked about it, right?
Yeah, it was become the last time we talked about it. To be honest with you, 3 years ago it was become that. Now it's be that.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so it it has evolved as time has gone on.
I think
on.
So.
That's a great point.
I mean, that's a great point, yeah. And I hear what Josh is saying. I look at that, what is 5 years, we're going to be 5 years from now. Those I look at the strategic initiatives that are going to come out of this plan. Those are the things that set that vision for what I need to do in the next 5 years, or we need to do in the next 5 years. So I don't have concrete five.
I'm not going to lay down on the track.
Yeah,
issue.
Thank goodness. It's such a loss.
Are admirable.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, right.
I disagree with you.
Right, exactly.
So does
I hear
the
what
vision
saying.
Resonate to you? Because the vision is sort of...
Yeah, because...
And to you guys as well.
Yeah, that's who it would need to...
I mean, the become bothers me too.
But. How long has it been bothering you? Have you ever expressed that?
No.
No. I wasn't there the day.
So I think it's
yes, okay.
To me, it is a vision to be innovative, because there's a lot of districts I know that are not innovative. They don't see that as a value. Something to strive for, because sometimes being innovative means that you're willing to take chances.
Yes, right.
You're willing to say, I'm going to throw out this program and it may not work, and that's okay. We're going to try that. And it's okay to fail and then fix and move it on. I mean, because some districts
don't. Everywhere.
You know,
we want you to ride bikes.
Well, right. Okay. It's like, you know, there's
lots of different things.
It could be a lot of.
Sustainability, property infrastructure management.
Yep.
I mean,
it's
there's lots of different ways to look at it.
At innovative, right.
Beyond just programming.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, right. Totally. That's just one example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I look at it throughout. Everything. It could be through our website, through our financial, through, you know, we're being innovative now right now with our time, well, how we're going to do our time clock pro or whatever it's called. So I like that, because I don't think that's a value that's important to me to have in a value statement. So, and I think customer driven is also one of those things, because I think we are customer driven.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So if there's keywords
remain missing?
As part of the vision, like innovative, customer-driven, fiscally responsible.
I don't like that one. We just take that one out. I'm just kidding.
Do you think anything's missing? Like, is there some word that's missing, though? Like, I like all three of those, innovative, customer-driven, and fiscally responsible. But is there something missing?
Yeah, we're missing anything. That doesn't fall.
And what I was going to say, for those
that is true.
Innovative, customer-driven, and fiscally responsible, we'll make sure that when we put together strategic initiatives, that's reinforced in terms of, it's one thing to say we're going to be innovative, it's another to really build innovation as part of the way we do business.
A strategy, yeah.
Is there another kind of responsible other than fiscally responsible?
Like a responsible adult.
Well, fiscally responsible,
because
you
have
fiscal responsibility.
Environment.
No,
yeah.
I was just kidding when I said I don't want it, because I think it's vital. Because you could say, oh, we want to build, a pool. We're going to build a pool, and we're going to do a rough run and pass the pool, but then we have no money to operate the pool. That's not fiscally responsible.
Right.
So in our strategic thinking, we have to always be, like, we would want everything. Everything that we want to do in the master plan, we'd like to do. We have to be fiscally responsible how we do that.
So you're saying something like environmentally responsible? Is it time now to start injecting that sort of?
Or is that in innovative? Is that part of that?
I think that's part of innovative.
I think that's part of innovative, because we can't put everything that falls.
Totally agree. Just throwing it out.
Yeah, I know.
Disagree.
I know.
Wouldn't. Yeah.
Right.
Totally
I know. Hear what you're saying. I'm just, you know.
Any other thoughts? And I'll write this up in the meeting minutes, and then we can kind of digest it a little bit.
I'll just speak to Lisa and Lisa. You know, like I said, I don't disagree with any of this. I think it's great. And maybe to this, Lisa, to the extent that environmental responsibility is important, then you say, okay, well, that's what I want to see in the, whatever we call it, five-year plan.
Yeah.
That sort of becomes the way that this becomes reality.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Anything else about the vision?
So pretty much take become and put be is what I see the change right now. Okay.
Okay. And then the Park District, a few years ago when we developed the mission and vision, we also developed values, or, you know, really describing the way it is that we work. So they're really internal to the organization. There are some park systems that will have external values in terms of service delivery. These were intended to be internal, to describe our work environment, our culture, the way that we work. And this has really been deployed effectively throughout the park district, the spirit. Erin, do you want to talk a little bit about that, like just how it's been deployed? Okay.
No.
I can.
As a matter of fact,
we've been using it.
I will.
T-shirts. We use it as our spirit cards. We do it part of our training. Also
We have a reward system. Like, we have these spirit cards. If we catch someone doing something right, you write on the back, like, hey, you really embodied this one of these spirit values, and we'll write it on there to recognize it's in their evaluations, part of the team training. You know, if I see someone, you know, doing something good, I'll say, hey, you're really living up to the spirit of the park district. And they all know what that means now.
I think it's really ingrained. I mean, typically in the maintenance department, they don't always go for stuff like this. They're really more nuts and bolts, and I mean, they're giving them to each other. And when you have the staff that in other agencies typically aren't engaged in these things, be engaged in that, I think that's really a special thing, that they're embracing those values and understanding what they mean.
Yeah, it's on their T-shirts, we put on the sleeves of everything. And so,
So it's been pretty well operationalized. They've been effective. And I think of the mission, vision, values, I think the values are the ones that employees have the easiest time really wrapping their arms around. It becomes meaningful. So it's, you know, kudos to the staff are doing a good job operationalizing them.
We do something similar at my company. It's called Bravos, but it's the same thing. We recognize others, and then you every month, like 5 out of the 50 people recognized get a $50 bonus in their check, and so it just encourages people to constantly do that. And then they do, like, once a quarter, they pull the people who didn't get that bonus, and you get a gift card. So it's just motivating people to keep up with that recognition. It sounds like you maybe don't need that.
But we do that too. But we do quill things that we get for free. We don't do bonuses.
Cooler.
Woo!
Because we don't have $50.
Because we don't have $50.
Yeah.
I'll meet somebody else.
Yes.
Wait, I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
So, like, please. Innovative, then be responsive. Like,
parallelism.
It just drove me crazy.
Makes me.
What?
So, like, responsiveness versus being innovative, they're different forms of
speech. So
it's to be consistent in all of it.
safety, passion, integrity, responsiveness, innovation, teamwork.
Okay. Right.
So they're all there. They're just the
they're
other
all nouns
form of
or they're all.
Yeah,
yeah,
understood. That's funny. There's a. I'm working in Glenview right now, and there's a board member that. Oh my gosh, you go to jail if. If it's not
is it?
Consistent
not
language.
I've done a lot of bullet points in my life.
Yeah, got it.
Probably had
yes.
Josh
okay.
on my
thank
team
you,
before,
appreciate
so.
That.
So we could make them all end in Y. Safety, passion,
I like that. I like that. Okay. All right. Anything else? Anything else about the values? Yeah, I know sometimes when organizations do mission, vision, values work, it's like people just, like, it's hard. But we made some headway and don't need to finalize anything tonight. We'll keep working on these things. So I took a look at all the focus group notes that I generated from the groups that I met with, and we always want to do, get a sense of what the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are for an organization. So some of the strengths that I pulled out, just that the district's done a really good job reinvestment in the infrastructure. And then the community support, I had a little personal edit there of no small feat. Like, I remember coming to the Park District several years ago to bid on a project, and it was like one of the scariest nights of my life. And because there was so much dysfunction. There was a plant in the audience who was there to ridicule the consultants. So it was really fun times. So
thanks for coming back.
Yeah, so the way this district, so I saw it at its worst moments, and I'm now seeing it at its best moments. And, change in the board has certainly helped, as well as some long-tenured staff who were here and are still here, as well as new staff. Really, it's really so wonderful for me to see that. And then Park District leadership, that kept coming up as a strength. Overall workforce competency, the variety of programs, the fact that the organization really deploys a lot of teamwork. And then there's a great amount of organizational trust within the organization in terms of what the organization feels that the community feels toward the Park District. And that's no small feat as well, especially in today's times when there's nothing but cynicism associated with all public entities these days. And then weaknesses or areas for improvement.
Did you want to elaborate
yes.
that list?
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that.
There
yeah.
were good things.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, Dudley. What I wanted to do is to ask, are there other strengths that that are there were many, many more, but these are the ones that jumped out at me the most. But yeah, are there any other important strengths that you'd like to make sure gets included in this list?
Before we comment?
Yes.
The strengths that are up here, did these come from our discussion last time, from your interviews with the staff, from some other?
All the interviews that I did from staff and board members. Then I will say that we also have an online survey that has gone out, and we got like 130 responses. We have not called through all of that yet.
And I should say I did respond, but the survey didn't take it. It had an error message at the end. And
it recognized you were a board member, and it said, we don't want a board member comment.
Yeah. It was more like SurveyMonkey has flagged.
I know, but
did you take it today?
That kind of thing just makes me nuts, because, that could have happened to other people, too.
I took
a screenshot of it so that I could.
Okay.
But then I moved on to something.
I mean, we can see how many people started it. And
yeah,
that would
okay.
be good.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, that number isn't more than about 5, from what I looked at.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll look through all of those and see if there's other really important things that we want to include on the strengths.
So
yes.
Is that different than this, because this says the goal is exceeded and 441 surveys were completed. So is this different? than what you're talking about?
That was our master plan.
So this is from several years ago.
That's from a couple years ago, yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a brand new one that we just put out.
Yeah,
it was just five questions, like just a brief five question one. It wasn't
the one recently you did.
I did.
It didn't kick you out, even though you're a board member.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, this is from our master plan that was only done 3 years ago.
Yes, yeah. All right. So, yeah, are there other strengths? So, thanks, Dudley.
I have some other strengths. One is, you know, relative to most park districts, we have a pretty strong financial base.
Yes. I would say that is correct. Why is this not...
Because you set up a blank.
Okay.
We just keep the ones that don't work.
Yeah. just to confuse you. Maybe toss that one.
So financial condition, financial... What is
financial condition.
Okay.
Present financial condition.
Can I just say, too, I mean, we already said this in the vision, but that's because of the fiscal responsibility, because otherwise, if we spent $2 million on one thing, we wouldn't be in that
correct
condition.
Right, it's because we've been following that vision, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one, and I'm not quite sure how to break this down, but we can provide some unique experiences that other places can't. And part of that's because of our natural setting on the lake.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And part of it is the innovation that staff does, like on the mud run.
Yes, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that they're kind of related. Yeah.
Anything else, Dudley?
That's all I...
Those are good ones. Anybody else have any other additional strengths that want to make sure?
The opposite of the fact that we are financial, that fiscal responsibility, is that we're doing things. You know, we're using the money. So I don't know how to put that, but instead of just sort of sitting around and just repairing things or fixing, we're really assertive.
We're improving our infrastructure.
Yeah, we're assertively trying to, I don't know how to put it. Yeah,
the first one of the reinvestment.
Yeah, it's right there. Reinvestment. Infrastructure.
Yeah, that sort of sounds.
I think our partnerships are huge.
Partnerships is good.
Between units of local government, non-for-profits.
Yes.
We have, what is it, 40-some partners?
Good one. 35?
Yeah, and Lisa, I don't want to lose your comment. You don't like reinvestment in the infrastructure. It's more about its intentional allocation of...
That's in the direction of where I'm thinking. Let me think about it a little bit. Maybe somebody else has some
ideas. I think implementation of the master plan. I mean, because we put a lot of resources into that plan, and we've executed that plan in many ways.
That is a strength,
which is not always typical.
Right.
Usually just sits on the shelf. Proactive.
Proactive.
Because we're doing, when you think of what Chris is managing, we've got a lot of projects, and we really could slow the whole thing down and do far fewer, because it would make the staff's life a lot easier, but.
Say action orientation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lisa, keep thinking about that, and we'll
do.
Yeah, and if it comes to you at 3:00 in the morning, I'll make sure I give you my cell phone number. You can give me a call. I'm sure I'll be awake. Any other strengths? Okay, how about weaknesses or opportunities for improvement?
Clarification? I wasn't quite sure what folks meant in two areas, on the areas for improvement.
Yes.
One was staffing levels. I didn't know whether we had people were referring to too much staff or too little staff, the allocation of staff within the kinds of things that people were doing. I just didn't know what was meant by that.
Yeah, it was not having enough staff throughout different parts of the district.
Okay.
And that was determined how?
That was employees' opinions.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Okay. The other one was the saying yes.
Saying yes. So a resident has a concern, a complaint, and yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah, we're going to help them. Yes, we're going to do that. So always saying yes, which maybe saying yes sometimes might not be the best thing to do because it's throwing resources in a direction that might not be the biggest priority. So just immediately saying yes is not always the right thing.
The squeaky wheel gets
So that's the path of least resistance is to say yes.
Yeah, so that's what that was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So conflict avoidance.
Lisa, do you feel like these areas for improvement, as well as the strengths, do these resonate with you, or is this just, you know, a list of things that, you know, one person might have said, but you don't think are really representative?
You know, I think they're very, very head on, except for adult programming. I don't agree with that one. I think we do a lot of adult programming that people don't, like, classify under adult programming. So I think, yes, I think staffing levels, I agree with that. It's I think we're administrative managerial level, we're fine. It's the worker bees that we need more of to rise us to the next occasion. We're really, our management staff is working really hard. They could do for some support underneath them. And the same with in the parks farm, we need some more worker bees, people that could get some of the things that we need done. I think we're pushing our staff to the point that we won't be able to grow and improve much longer, and they cannot keep up with the workload that we have for a long term. So that worries me.
Yeah, that was related. That is related to this. That and it was mostly, I would say, in the parks group of feeling that they're really stretched. That demands continue to increase, whereas our resource capability and capacity is not.
It's probably the same.
Correlating.
Yeah. So, for example, I'll give you a prime example. Everybody loves a mud run. We do too. That's phenomenal. And actually, the parks team loves it too. But when they do that event, they're out of commission for doing anything else in the parks department for 2 week periods. And so you got to think about that for every special event we do, that it's really hard for them still to do their other job. That kind of stuff. And they like it, but they also know that, boy, doing that event now, I'm going to have to, somebody else has to give, and then they're going to call if somebody complaining, you know, whatever. So that's where that kind of fits in, I think.
Yeah.
It's operational maintenance versus the one-time projects, special events, community initiatives, things like that.
Yeah.
So every day, grass has to be cut, trash has to be taken out, bathrooms have to be cleaned, and balancing that between resident and concerns and recreation needs.
Yeah. But Barbara's exactly right. The employee morale ties in with the staffing levels. We want to make sure, you know, we don't have an employee morale problem. A bad one, I don't think at all, but I think it could go that direction if we don't.
Right. We keep pushing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. If we don't start addressing some of those. And I know I talked about this like 3 or 4 years ago when I took from 4 department heads, 3, that I knew that when I took one of those away, I wanted to save that for more worker bees to help with this. I thought we were too administratively heavy, which we were, and I wanted to take some of that resources and put it into the lower jobs. So it's just now we're starting to flush out to see where exactly those positions would be. So I think that's important to look at.
Does that last bullet, that is too competitive?
There, some of the facility and programs, there are a lot of providers in the marketplace. You know, they're just dealing with a competitive environment.
So it's competition from other providers is what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so anything else in terms of improvement areas, weaknesses? Yes, Dudley.
I've got my academic hat on now.
Okay.
John Friedman at MIT defines planning as the link between knowledge and action. Okay, and sometimes in our planning, I think we maybe jump a little too fast between the knowledge and the action. That with more knowledge or information, we could make better decisions.
Yeah, we did talk a little about evidence-based and data-driven decision making, and that we need the evidence and the data in order to utilize that.
Yep.
And so, I thought that would be an area, but some of these categories are overlapping. Like competitive environment, I don't see that as an area for improvement. I see it as a threat, but maybe there's an overlap here. You know, so
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know how you can improve on
improve the competition.
I don't know
what
you
could
do about that. You know.
Yeah.
Well, that does kind of speak to something I said in our first meeting with Barbara, which is, you know, if the community or private providers are providing something, why are we competing with them?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, I think that's what you said they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, as well as a staff person who's in charge of an area where there are a lot of competitive pressures, they feel that, well, they better really tune up how they're offering things because there are so many choices in the marketplace. So both of those things.
At least they feel the pressure. That's kind of good, actually.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
You know, be like at the DMV.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
It's not a bad thing.
I think Bobby would say they feel the pressure.
No, they sure do. Basketball, everything.
Everything.
Really. Everything.
Yeah.
Private sector is providing a lot. You know,
and other park districts.
And other park districts,
yes.
Yeah.
Everything.
So I don't think that means we shouldn't do that.
One thing we don't get enough credit for.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, but I was just concurring with Lisa. That doesn't mean we shouldn't provide it because we could let everybody provide everything and the park district could do nothing but rent rooms, you know. So, anyway.
And some districts do that.
Yeah.
The next thing I'd like to address under improvements is something that we do, but I don't think people appreciate, and that is we could improve the fact that our offerings improve health and tie those links better.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about outreach and that sort of thing, but it's really become a big deal, and it's a big deal in the sustainability world. I just read a report that said about 70% of the things you do for sustainability also improve health.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have what they call co-benefits in that area,
yep.
And I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning to live to 100.
We actually do a little bit of that already in the youth program because we've launched it
I saw a reference to it, but I think we could even do more.
Fall brochure.
Yeah.
Oh, it was more in the fall. Didn't make it this one. Okay.
Yeah.
We did do it in the fall, but it's not in this one, but I like that, where we put little symbols by things about whether it's a social or a physical or, you know, it was really nice, but I agree with that. We can, you know.
That's good stuff.
Okay.
Okay, great.
So the next area are the opportunities, and just listed six of them. Just communicating with residents, sustainable practices, opportunities we're seeing as extending facility use, the ice and the beach, encouraging biking, connectivity, and improved partnerships. So even though we said partnerships was a strength, there's still opportunities there. So other opportunities that you can think of?
Looking at some of the things that we do well, that I hear parents talking about, I think are an offshoot of successful branding that work at a lot of places. We name our programs. It's not just the 3 and 4 year olds, but they have a cutesy little name, whether it's summer camps or whatever. And I think that creates better identity for the programs as well as better positive images for the programs.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we're creating new programs, recurring classes, we should consider how they fit in with current identity, if they enhance it, or if we should build another identity to help with their promoting and marketing, because we've done real well with that. And it wasn't always intentional, but it should be considered.
Yeah. Yeah, Erin, do you want to tell Steve the comment that you got on the online survey? No.
No.
Okay.
No, that one annoyed me.
There's someone that says, why, in the survey, why does a park district need a brand? You're not
a soda company or something.
They didn't understand that branding, was important.
But no, branding, I'd say, of all the things I see park systems across the country doing, branding is like one of the top five initiatives that agencies are really, and not only park and recreation, but also like city government.
Right. Commissioners, we all have this on our little desks, on our work areas today. And in the middle, the this article, just 3-4 pages, is worth reading about how to modernize our impact to our constituents as well as amongst ourselves.
Who wrote the article?
Al Reese.
Don't know that name.
Everybody got their thing. I don't understand what you mean by opportunity as connectivity. Do we mean physical connectivity, or do we mean social connectivity, or what is that?
Just physical connectivity, more trails, more opportunities to connect facilities and parks.
When I first looked at it, I thought it meant connectivity to other organizations or partnerships or those kinds of things.
That's what I thought.
But it plays both ways, and they're
right.
both opportunities,
right.
so they're both good.
Right.
The other thing, instead of encouraging biking, can we expand that to just say encourage fitness, including biking and walking?
Sure.
Yeah.
And we have this little fitness center coming.
But we were really trying to figure out ways of getting people out of their cars.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, that's what we're trying to say there. Instead of just, let's get into the fitness center, or let's get out to, you know, play tennis, whatever your fitness mode might be. We're trying to see what we can do to enhance the environment by getting people out of their cars, walking, hiking, running.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Taking a bus, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So active
transportation.
Active.
That's right.
Thank you. Must be a market. Again, we might want to, this is for Lisa. Again, we might want to wordsmith this so we have the same, what it's called, active, you know, encourage.
I'll do that. Yeah. This was just for the purpose of discussion, but I can do that. All right, anything else in terms of opportunities?
We'll think of more as we go on.
Yeah, and like it's not just as just a snapshot in time. There might be some other thoughts down the road. So then after opportunities, we have threats. And I know when I did the focus group meetings, there were quite a few.
Okay, Barbara, I do have one idea for an opportunity.
Yes.
Something around donation opportunities.
That's a good one.
I'm reluctant to say, you know, here's 6 ideas that each cost $5 million, and you know, we need people to donate because we'll spread ourselves too thin. Mm-hmm. But some way of sort of saying, here's a grand vision. Maybe it's the dog park. Maybe it's something else. But here's a grand vision that is going to cost $5 million.
Or even how about integrating donation opportunities in all of our projects? So, for instance, we're not going to be able to put a water fountain here, but it's a wonderful donation opportunity, or something like that. So that it wouldn't have to be a giant donation, but it could be a neighborhood getting together and, you know, sort of the way the PTO did the platform around the tree at West Park. That was a donation opportunity. And they rose to that occasion.
Yeah,
so something, and that's, you know, a board responsibility, and we have not really done our job on that, so that would be an opportunity for us.
Okay, good.
The other benefit that we have seen in the community very sporadically from donation opportunities was when we created the supporters of Friends Park 25, 30 years ago. And seeing so many people come forward wanting to put their name on a park and contribute monetarily and get involved with that. And that really helped build a sense of community amongst the people of my group, who were all just had moved here, I'd say between 85 and 92. And that was our big rallying cry. And then 10 years later, we had something with Watts. We also did a community fundraising and focus group to get a referendum done. And we haven't done much with that in the last 15 to 20 years. And if you get something that the community might be passionate about that is out of our typical budget scope, those are great opportunities to let the people in the community feel that they have a direct impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on to the threats. Those were the ones that jumped
jumped out at me, from property tax to minimum wage. The ability to attract part-time staff, that is nationally. I see that everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. And then continuous higher expectations, that's from the community members. And then question, do we really need the best of everything? Are there other ways of looking at things? 60 to 85-year-olds feeling the financial pinch. You know, houses might eventually start looking more tired.
Maybe there's another way
to
say
that. Could we not ever say that ever?
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to publish it,
I mean,
not publish it,
concern about
horrible.
Our stable or potentially declining tax base.
If that, what are we saying with this exactly?
Which one?
60 to 85-year-olds.
Why are we going to ignore our houses?
Well, that's what just someone's. That's just someone's feeling.
That's
someone's feeling about it when they're talking
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so
that,
you can't discount that.
That was just captured verbatim from what somebody said. So these will all be changed and refined in the final product. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, was my comment?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was trying to help you out, Steve. I did my best.
I just got captured for. I'm clearly in the middle of that.
See, well, he wants to amend what he just said.
Don't ask my neighbors how I said that.
Yeah.
I think what they're trying to say is that, you know, there might be some people that maybe have retired and don't have income to, and the taxes keep on going up, and maybe they're afraid they can't invest in their house.
I thought the larger idea was that the demographics might be shifting.
Yeah.
I think that's
a better idea.
And we could even put it that way.
Yeah.
Or I think
demographics.
So I think we have a lot of new families coming in.
Ever written down was this crazy one. Oh my God.
Got it. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, any other threats?
Let's see what we have.
I mean, and there were a lot more. These were just the ones that
jumped out,
and especially that 60 to 85-year-old. Yeah. I like that one.
I have one, but it's everybody knows it's called the changing political legal environment.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sort of, who knows what's happening there. When you got that figured out, let me know.
Mm. What about climate change?
Yeah,
ooh,
that's a good
Absolutely,
one.
I thought that too.
Huh? Climate change.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, it's just good to think in terms of when you are thinking about the organization strategically. These are some things to think about. And then within strategy, there's these elements that should always be taken into consideration as well, just in terms of shifts in technology. You know, the technology just keeps changing. Change in demographics, changes in customer preferences. You know, what might have met somebody's expectations 5 years ago no longer is met. You know, you need to keep identifying what customer requirements are. Another one is just industry trends. And then HR requirements. What are the workforce capabilities, competencies that we might be missing out on? And then we also have to think a little bit about the ability to execute the plan. How does that fit in financially and organizational capacity? So those are elements that, when we develop initiatives, we need to take these things into consideration. Any thoughts on any of those? Anything from a technology side? Do you guys feel like technology-wise, you're in pretty good shape? Like, I'm amazed at the number of cities that I work with that technology is so far behind. In the Park District world, it's a lot better. But
I think with our IT plan from 4 years ago, we're finally there.
Yeah.
But just as soon as we get there, then it's going to change
again.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think we've devoted money from the standpoint of having Excalibur kind of full service, kind of taking the place of an HR or an IT person,
right.
That's been helpful. But as Barbara mentioned, it's just constantly changing.
I think we'll have to keep on investing to keep up.
I mean,
and
you see how much it costs.
Yeah.
I mean, we've
invested so many checks for $12,000 for Excalibur.
Yeah.
I seriously think we ought to look at like how much of that stuff can be in the cloud somewhere.
I mean
we bought a lot of servers and hard drives and RAM expansion packs and stuff like that. That
those had to do with our internet
registration, right?
You go to Amazon, you're buying it, you know.
Yeah, I would have Daniel come and do a presentation to you on that, because he came, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago when he first got when we first hired their company to start the process. So I'm not opposed to it.
Since that point,
speaking
going to clouds all over.
That is a huge shift in technology.
I think a lot of the infrastructure improvement that you're talking about lately has been directly correlated with our registration days and push the amount of registration we get on that day of registration and our capacity to be able to handle that.
That's not even including that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of that's checks you signed.
The reason that people go to the cloud, other than they don't want IT people on staff, is you can use 10 units of capacity 364 days a year and pay for 10 units of capacity, and then use 100 units of capacity one day a year that you need it and only pay for it that day, instead of buying this giant segment sized for 100 that you only use one 364.
Yeah, I'd have to speak to the different registration systems. Would that mean moving our RecTrack registration system, and then you're talking, you know?
But that's not really...
But if the question is strategy influencer shifts in technology, cloud has been a huge one. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of money on technology that's not in the cloud. So that's just I'm not trying to force you to answer that question today or defend that today. But
yeah, there was a study that was done by a startup firm called OpenGov, and they recognize that one of the biggest issues in the public sector is not using the cloud, that on-premise software is where public agencies have invested all their money, so it's expensive, it's not nimble. So in the next decade, that's going to change. But yeah, just as in many other sectors, the public sector is a laggard in moving to that. Yeah. To say that we're different than Amazon, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's,
I'm not talking
that's,
about we're different than Amazon as in how they operate their business. I'm talking about Amazon as the largest provider of cloud services to other companies.
Right, right, right.
But how do we make that leap? I mean, I think for me, if I am afraid out of fear, you know, because I don't know what to do. So you do what you're comfortable. So how do we get to that place where we can move out of what we're doing to something else?
Well, just
you
like we got our time clock management system, that's cloud-based. More things come available to the government sector, time clock plus is cloud-based. We didn't buy the premise version.
Yeah.
So I think as things come up to change, you automatically look to that option.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing too is...
Everything I've heard so far is right, in to the extent that, yes, you could ask Excalibur. Yes, you should switch to cloud or at least consider it where that's available as an option. A third option might be have an independent, non-Excalibur IT company come in that has expertise in the cloud and evaluate, is Excalibur selling us a lot of stuff because it's convenient or lucrative for them, that we could develop a plan to do something that's more efficient.
There's a firm called Dunbarry that does a lot of IT planning in the public sector, and they're helping organizations move to more cloud-based platforms. And the other thing to do is just to keep tentacle to who are some of the best systems in the country for park and recreation agencies that are doing some really early adopter things in the whole realm of technology. So, okay.
Yeah, just about changes in customer preferences. It's been very interesting to me to track baseball versus lacrosse and how baseball's been declining and lacrosse is getting more. It just means that we have to continue to have vigilance as we watch all this stuff.
Right, and that ties into paying attention to industry trends.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the...
Then going back to that one.
Oh, sure.
Sorry. Also, I don't know if it goes in this part, but other park districts, I think, obviously influence us too, and what they're doing.
I think that's industry trends, I would say.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. And there's a forum, an online forum called NRPA Connect, and in which people who don't want to do something just post something about, hey, do you have a policy? I mean, those things drive me crazy.
Me too.
But people from all over the country will post, we have a software question about something, and people will respond. So that's a really good way of learning what's going on industry-wide.
So I think you're more referring to, if I understand you correctly, what are surrounding park districts doing? Because if they're doing some of those things, we don't have to. If there's a splash pad right next door on the border, we don't necessarily have to have a splash pad.
Right.
Those sorts of things. So keeping abreast of what the districts around us are doing.
And our levels of service are routinely compared to surrounding districts. And they're typically not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Yeah.
Anytime, you know, you get that resident group who wants additional services, they can always point to a park district somewhere else that's providing that, and it's not always a, you know, an A comparison.
Yeah.
That's definitely a challenge with the industry trends.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So I just wrote down some things that I'm seeing. A lot of agencies are having a really tough time connecting with the active adult, the 50-60 market. I think that nationally a lot of people consider park districts, park and recreation agencies to be kids. It's about kids. So that isn't the case here. You're doing okay.
I think we're doing okay.
Yeah, we could
always do better, but I think we're, in last year, we have a lot of...
Now the next two bullets, I've seen huge changes in community engagement and outreach of doing so much more online engagement, getting away from the talking head meeting, public meeting, three people show up type of thing. So much more online engagement. There's a city in Australia that's using some kind of technology. They're designing a park, and residents are able to draw the park as they see it, and people can add comments to it. And it's been very, very successful. The other thing that's happening is, and it's not so much of a factor in Glencoe, is just social equity and minority populations. 10, 15 years ago, cities didn't really think about that stuff. Now that's a huge initiative by the National Recreation and Park Association. There's so many cities in which it's staggering as to how the affluent communities have all the parks and playgrounds and swimming pools and different story.
We do keep our pulse on that in a certain extent. And it was something we have to be mindful of. We develop additional apartments and other things typically on the Green Bay Road corridor.
Yep.
And we'll have more kids coming in needing our daycare and in our other support type programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talk about those all the time, and we have to keep that in mind. As families get more nannies and housekeepers but don't live in, we have more of that. I've been involved with other communities where they've worked diligently to try to come up with ways to get those families involved.
Yeah.
In all the activities that all the other kids are doing,
yep,
as a way of integrating those parents that are typically first-generation immigrants in the communities where I work. And it makes for a much stronger community.
Absolutely.
You always use the kids as bridge builders, and when we have an opportunity to do that, I think we've done a good job with that here. We have a lot of our park district and village employees whose kids come into the building for their daycare and
mm-hmm,
other things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're aware of that, mm-hmm, and we have to try to make sure we keep programs open and available.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's a good point. So those are great. I'm glad that cities and communities all over the place are doing that. Then part-time staffing issues, that's like on the top five list of concerns nationally of not being able to attract or retain. And it's not always related strictly to salary. So that's a big one. And then diminishing number of recreation professional staff. More and more agencies are hiring health-related fields, business-related fields. If you talk to anyone at the university level, there's fewer and fewer people that are majoring in park and recreation. I do guest lecturing at Penn State. That's where I went to school. And it's interesting. They have sports management, they have event management, they have commercial recreation, then they have municipal recreation as their four areas. And when I speak to the class, there's like maybe two municipal recreation schleps. You know, everybody else wants to go to event planning, sports management. Yeah, to me, like, I get tears in my eyes because the community part's so important. So that's a huge issue. So I know in talking to the National Recreation and Park Association, they said, yeah, many agencies are really looking outside the industry and maybe industry aligned with parks and recreation, but that's going to be an issue. And then climate changes and stormwater management, that's a huge initiative by NRPA. They see that parks and recreation can play a huge part in helping out with those elements. Then pop-up opportunities. Park systems all around the country will have like a pop-up playground that's there for a week, or they'll convert a parking lot into a small little acre park that may be permanent, may not. So all sorts of like nimble, fluid types of parks and programs. Bike sharing is going on everywhere, and then obviously sustainable practices, and then charging stations, electric cars, connection with health, wellness, and fitness. Trails and connectivity, partnerships. Everyone's interested in partnerships everywhere. And what I find from most park agencies is it's the park and recreation agency that's like on the short end of the stick in many partnerships. So it's really trying to be sophisticated and savvy in doing partnerships so that there's more equal benefit associated with it. Traditional sports decreases, you know, wondering how long football is going to be around. So environmental programs, anything related to the environment, that's a program trend that's going up. Lots of outdoor recreation opportunities, zip lining, climbing. And then to me, I think that one of the biggest changes in the industry is just much more elevated marketing, sophistication in marketing. It used to be 10 years ago that the marketing person was the recreation staff person who made the prettiest flyers. Now, agencies have really skilled marketing people, and that goes along with just what's happening with social media. Use of data for decision making is a huge challenge for the industry. So finally, there are some companies that are targeting parks and recreation and helping park and recreation agencies become so much better at aggregating data, analyzing data. I know I was working in a city, I asked for some registration information. They gave me like 1,000 pages of hard copy information. So that, you know, park and recreation agencies are really great at capturing information, but the analyzing and responding and all that stuff is the short end of the stick. So there's an increased number of dashboards that are being used. And then I had mentioned a company called OpenGov. They do really great financial reporting with really great visual tools, things like that. So a lot's happening there, and I'm really glad to see it. Increased alternative revenue streams, whether it's sponsorships or foundations, donations. Emphasis on workplace environment. You know, I'm always struck with when you go into, you know, like a Google or a Microsoft or even Ben and Jerry's, the work environment looks so cool. Whereas you go into a government building and there's all these compartmentalized, institutional looking.
So we need a ping pong table.
Yeah, absolutely. I recently worked for a design firm, and they had a studio that was involved in creating better workplace environments. And I was involved on a project team for Boston City Hall. And if any of you have seen Boston City Hall, it's like one of the ugliest buildings in the world. And I got involved as far as looking at that and trying to make that a much better design than what exists. And it's really amazing to me how the private sector puts a lot of attention into creating nice workspaces, where in the public sector it's like the last thing on the list of things to spend money on. So anyway. And then trouble engaging active adults, not here, but nationally, huge problem. And then earned revenue strategies is another one. So those were just some trends that I thought of. Are there any other trends that you can think of that are worth noting or even not worth noting?
I think these are really interesting. Yeah. We should really be always kind of keeping
about that,
rotating list in our head.
The one that comes to mind for me is liability. I hear that a lot, especially from our park people.
That's for me.
Liability?
Liability. Liability that just the awareness of it, or let's not do that because we're going to be liable.
Yeah.
I think
it's
know
education.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, everybody, when we talk about how much things cost and why they cost that much, a lot of it does have to do with liability, why we can't go to Home Depot and buy a playground,
those types of
things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's never an easy conversation when you're talking about expending taxpayers' resources.
Or the fall zones. I don't think it's that, not that we can't do it. It's just that there's added costs compared to the private sector, you know, when we do things like that.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. People's safety is always in the forefront of our decision-making and how that affects us.
Okay.
Barbara and Lisa, there are a couple comments related to part-time staffing issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there a secular trend away from part-time work, or is that more related to the fact that, like, unemployment is the lowest it's been in 18 years or something like that? So I can see how that's going to be a problem right now.
I think it's in this community, actually in all communities, it's moving away from high schoolers moving away from part-time work.
They're
looking at what their college application. They have to volunteer. They have to be on all these clubs,
right.
And they're not. And especially in this community, but actually I see it in other communities too. They're not. Their parents don't want their kids to work. They want them to concentrate on other things, which that used to be the bulk of what our staff was at for after school and things like that. So, and same with college, you did a lot of times.
The lack of benefits, is that?
That comes into play too.
That
people are looking for insurance.
Like colleges, don't we want to fill slots with part-time people, because then we don't have to pay the benefits and we don't have the burden of the
We do, but they don't want to work. So the colleges don't want to work, and high school kids don't want to work. And then there's in this community especially, it's the 40, the 30, 40, 50-year-old who stay home with their kids and then they want to go back, and we don't have that kind of pool to draw into either.
The location doesn't have a pool of...
Just recognize that east of us is Lake Michigan. Well, if you go west 25 miles, you're surrounded all ways around, so you can draw from a bigger pool. But here, we really limited the size of our potential staffing pool because we lose that whole 50% with Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier as you go further west to kind of pull from other communities.
You're getting less wealthy communities
as
well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have very little diversity in our socioeconomic pool.
And so we have to draw people in from other communities, so they have to drive further.
A long way for a short job.
Part-time laborers that are driving 40 minutes to get.
Totally. We do.
Coming from, Waukegan, Antioch, Park City. Think about how many communities they're driving through to get here, where they could get jobs at those park districts.
Of course.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal actually had an article last summer about shortage of lifeguards all over the country.
Yes.
Nobody wants to lifeguard anymore.
No.
In fact, I guess there's some park districts that have gotten approval from PDRMA to have pool hours with no lifeguards, which I thought, I thought I'd never see that.
Well, we have that on our beach, realistically, before 10 o'clock and after 8 o'clock. After the season's over, we don't have lifeguards up, we don't close the beach ever.
Yeah.
But,
Our landscape contractors have the same problem. We've seen our contractual costs rise because they've struggled to source those positions just as we have.
So it'll continue to be. We don't have that. A lot of times, a lot of communities, like I said, have the 30, 40, 50, and we don't have that in our community either. The moms who stay home with their kids and then they want to go back and just get a part-time job. We don't have that either.
Right.
So,
right.
it's a challenge. It will continue to be a challenge.
Absolutely. So we'll solve it as part of this process. We'll solve that last year.
Thank you. Would you please? Thank you. That'd be awesome.
Robots. Thank you, Barbara.
Robots.
Okay.
Robots. That's a good idea.
So I wanted to just spend a little bit of time going over the framework that I like to use for strategy. I'm going to skip this slide for now. But the hierarchy that we're looking for is mission, vision, guiding principles, strategic themes, objectives, measures, and initiatives. And you guys, the board, are going to stay up here. The way I always like to explain it in terms of what's the differentiation between board and staff, to me, it's board, the board's role to decide what mountains to climb, whereas it's staff's role to decide how to go about climbing that mountain. For you guys, the discussion will be more up here. And then when I have follow-up meetings with staff, we drill deeper into strategy. But I like using the balanced scorecard as a framework for strategy. And the balanced scorecard, it's called balanced because it has four different perspectives: a customer perspective, financial, internal, and learning and growth perspective. And they all relate to one another, cause and effect relationships in all of these different areas. The reason it's called a balanced scorecard is the guys that developed the balanced scorecard in the early 90s were looking at it from a performance metric perspective. They were interested in what kind of a job or companies or organizations doing measuring performance. And they found that companies were really good at measuring financial performance, but other areas not so much. And they looked at, you know, how do we make sure that an entire company, entire organization is optimized? And they came up with four different categories or perspectives of customers. So that would include things such as product and service attributes like pricing, programs, quality, availability, relationship, how do we engender customer loyalty, our service, our access mechanisms, so website, front desk operations, our standards of service, requirements and encounters, our brand and image. On the financial side, it's looking at productivity, growth, financial results, cost recovery, tax versus non-tax, and then internal perspective. And this is the area I like so much because usually when I see a park and recreation strategic plan, it never really addresses this. But internal business support is what this perspective is all about. And it includes four different areas: operations management, so how do we develop programs, how do we do really great maintenance practices, how do we manage process, how do we manage the customer process, our support systems and use of technology, and then innovation process, how do we drive and make sure that we're going to innovate, and all of the regulatory and social processes such as safety and environmental. Then learning and growth perspective, what is our human capital? What are the skill sets that we need? Information capital, how do we manage knowledge? How do we leverage technology? And then organization capital, our work environment, culture, and leadership system. So all of these have a cause and effect relationship. So we may do something on the internal side that we're doing something new in technology. Well, then there's going to be a correlating area that we're going to have to pay attention to make sure that we're developing that capacity for the workforce, as well as the cost involved and how it impacts our customers. So that's the framework that I like to use, but if that's not something that resonates with you. But what a lot of systems that I've worked with have created additional perspectives. Like they felt like there was an area that really needed special attention. Like there have been times an agency will say, well, we'd like to have a community perspective or a partnership perspective. Or I'm working in Glenview right now and they added a sustainable, environmental sustainability perspective. So that's something that we can talk a little bit about. Usually whenever there's something environmental, I include it within the internal perspective area. That's really a place where it can go. Just the balanced scorecard. It addresses the leadership infrastructure. It was developed by two Harvard guys, Kaplan and Norton, in the 1990s.
And it can be a bridge to the master plan. So, you know, taking a look at the master plan and are there things in the master plan that should help drive strategy? And I mentioned the four perspectives: customer, financial, internal business support, and learning and growth. Cause and relationships, and then it ends up the creation of the strategy map. So there are measures that are associated with the different initiatives, and these are some typical ones that I see in park and recreation systems. So customer satisfaction, customer retention, which isn't always an easy one to do. It's easy for like membership-based programs, or it's easy if there's like a gradation of swim lessons. But if someone's taking a dog obedience class and then they take a gymnastics class, it's a little bit tougher. But that's a good one too. And then market share, you know, what are we doing? What kind of participation do we have household-wide? And the statistically valid survey that we did, that was a question of, have you or anyone in your household participated in a program? So that's a good one to track. New customer acquisition is another one I've seen. And then financially, just productivity measures. A lot of that exists within the park maintenance area, where it's a lot easier than it is on the recreation side to quantify productivity, like acres per full-time staff. And there are some national benchmarks associated with that that you can use as comparisons. Revenue growth, net operating revenues, ratio of tax, non-tax. Then on the internal business side, number of new service and programs, how many process improvements, internal customer satisfaction, tracking rework dollars, research and development, what's happening with money we're spending in researching a facility or a program, and then learning and growth, employee SAT, employee retention, training and skills. So there will be some measures associated with the development of strategies so we can track how we're doing as an organization. So I just wanted to show a couple of examples of strategy maps. This was a park, and there's the four perspectives. And what is represented here are the strategic themes of customer focus, financial strength, operational excellence, and staff excellence. And then each of these bubbles represent what do we need to do well to achieve this. So for customer focus, we want to create memorable experiences. It's interesting, Lisa, that I see memorable experiences in so many park systems. So that must be really important. So to have a customer focus, we want to create memorable experience. We want to create some customer loyalty. And we want to anticipate future need, which I love this one because that's really a tough one to be able to do. And then Garland, Texas, We Care, Financial Sustainability, Organizational Excellence, Employee Development, and then the supporting objectives. And then there's a whole series of initiatives that dig even deeper.
Will you be doing this for our district too?
Yes.
Or we together,
yes,
I guess,
we
will
together.
Be doing it.
Yeah. 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 And what I was hoping to do tonight was to get some sense from the board about the theme areas for tonight. So this is Bend, Oregon. Their community connection, financial stewardship, operational excellence, and empowered and prepared workforce. And this is Elmhurst, customer-centered fiscal agility, improvement through collaboration, innovation, continuous improvement through an empowered team. Milwaukee, exceeding customer expectations, financial sustainability, operational excellence, and staff empowerment. I think that was it. So, you know, what I was interested in doing, I kind of went through that quickly. Does the balanced scorecard make sense? So what we're going to do is really focus on this right now, are the strategic themes. And I ran through a bunch of examples. So is everyone alert and alive enough to, or we can, Steve, are you dying?
No, I slipped away like 7 years ago, and I should have eaten some fried rice soon.
That's
I wrote that down.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, I'm still here.
You're still here. Is everyone still here? Are we? Do we have the,
5 minutes?
I think we should take 5 minutes. Yeah.
5 minutes for a bathroom break. Yeah, okay. Yes, five minutes.
I mean, for 2 months, I haven't had a Tuesday meal.
That's important. Funny.
Okay, so the last thing we're going to do is like try to get a sense of the four perspectives. The themes for each of the perspectives. So there's examples.
Can we turn light back on?
Do you want me to turn lights back on? Or do you need that up there?
I do need this up here. Okay. And you need to see one slide.
Okay, that's fine.
Important. So there are examples from other agencies that some people would like to have some point of reference. But from a customer perspective, so just as an example, I don't really like theirs as
well. I like Ben.
I like Ben.
Ben. Yes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, so this is what we're looking for. We're looking for the four perspectives in blue. So they came up with community connection, financial stewardship, operational excellence, and empowered and prepared workforce. But the elements that we want to include in this, on the customer side, it's relationships, it's our product and service attributes, just anything related to the customer. So let's start with the customer one. Are there any thoughts or ideas of a theme for the Glencoe Park District? And staff, feel free to chime in.
So you're talking about what?
In business, I would call it a relationship management type thing, where through your existing relationships, you stay in touch with the changing and evolving trends. So, you know, there's software for that that helps you stay in touch. It's your people, the personnel that help you stay in touch, but it's staying in tune with your clients, with your customers,
so you,
and potential customers.
You really do like the Ben's example of community connection.
I'm not looking at it now, but I did.
But that's what you just, pretty much what you, adapting to change
and
community
I said all
needs,
that without even looking at
respond to user expectations, expand partnerships, and strengthen community awareness. That's the...
Lisa and I like everything that's in that.
Yeah, that's,
we don't,
I mean, these
to
are.
Write it, not that we don't want to be creative, but we.
She's an editor, I'm an editor, and we just like this. We want to redo it.
The whole thing, are you just looking at the
I think they're thinking the whole thing,
banners.
But we're just concentrating on community
so
right now.
Are there any other thoughts?
Maybe they're just hungry and they're fine with that one.
Ooh, the old blood sugar motivation.
Oh, that?
And that happens too.
She's starving.
It's
a granola bar that's a month old.
What's that?
She has it. Lisa didn't eat.
I got a handful of Cheerios in my
car. Oh, we have some Rotary food. Do you want some of that?
What is Rotary food?
Oh, it's leftovers from lunch. There is no leftovers.
That's why we have a grill.
Wait,
for
chicken. Oh, chicken.
Chicken. No, not chicken.
That's what we always have at Rotary.
It seems like there's consensus around customer connection.
Yeah, yes. I really like that. I like the way it's that they call it connection.
Yeah.
I like that word. That's a really good word.
Yeah, that's,
like that.
So the next, well, that was easy. I was expecting that to be an hour-long discussion.
See, this is, I don't feed them on purpose because then they make decisions really fast. It's just, it's perfect.
So the next area is the financial perspective. So productivity, efficiency, growth, financial results, cost recovery, tax versus non-tax, all those elements, alternative revenue growth. Any?
Oh my God, Ben organizes
that
good.
One.
Did you see this? Perfect. Stability
is good.
Take care of what we
future.
Have.
Maybe a better way of saying take care of what we have. Like
that's
we,
a great
we
way
spend
to...
something and.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? We're not even we're not looking at that level.
No,
yet.
But just we're like
we're just
we're still at
the,
financial stewardship.
We're
right?
just looking
that's
at the,
in the blue.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's
like,
all the farther
like
we're going to get tonight.
You like stewardship?
I like
financial stewardship.
It's part of our vision.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would only change it to say responsible financial stewardship.
Sustainability, financial sustainability.
Financial sustainability.
Yeah, because if we're
I think it's always a good idea when I agree with Lisa and Kurt. And the leases go a long way.
It's in the code where we use that with the trail a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should we say, they also like stewardship too.
because it's ongoing.
Yeah, it's not just a state meeting. Yes. Yeah, that has more visionary connotation. Yeah, I agree.
You're never done.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other thoughts or ideas on financial piece?
That works.
Okay. How is this so easy? Is it getting late in the night? Is that what it is?
No, I think they really like this, something that's speaking to everybody from Bend, Oregon, for some reason.
We like Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and they things relate back to their earlier discussions.
Right. Yeah, they do. These all fit.
Yeah, what's interesting about Bend, their park system is like phenomenal, but a lot of former Illinois Park District people have retired there.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember that, right? There's a whole
concept. 4 years ago.
One of them was the former director. Which one? That he moved. Since moved.
You know what?
Tom Richardson. Oh, Tom Richardson.
So I think this is a good
idea. They have actually.
So
happy.
No.
So the next one is the internal. So it relates to operations, to customer management, to innovation, to regulatory and social processes.
Is more. Yeah.
So and again, operational excellence speaks to those individual things in a very positive way.
I almost like efficiency is better.
Yeah, I heard you say that. And yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. You like operational efficiency?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that too.
You can't be perfect at everything either.
No, and that's just
kind
of like
yeah.
silly.
Yeah, I just feel like that's an overused.
Excellence,
can't get an A plus on everything.
Right.
We try.
Efficiency or efficiencies?
Operations. Lisa, I'm going to go with you for grammar.
I don't know.
You know. Come on.
You have to have an opinion.
I thought we agreed everything had to end with a Y.
Whatever we do.
Efficiency it is. Thanks. That was a great contribution, Josh.
I knew you'd
wait, I'm going to stretch it.
We're going to
came out
of
it.
I'm not sure about this. Let's.
You're not sure about it?
I'm going to. I'll get back to you.
Okay. you can add that to the other element you're going to do. Okay, and then the last one is learning and growth. So that's just the culture, the skill sets, information capital.
I like development. I do too. I like team development because I don't like calling staff. I like a team. So team development. I don't know what you guys feel. If you want staff or workforce or, you know.
Yeah, team development.
In some contexts, staff would just refer to your direct reports. So I like team.
I agree with that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's better than workforce. Yeah. I don't like the word workforce either. I see that someplace else too.
Yeah.
Like saying associates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at these reporters taking all these notes. What's the most profound thing you guys have learned tonight?
Now you're on the hot seat.
The most profound thing I've learned? I'm just digesting this.
Yeah. So okay, good answer.
They were brilliant. They were brilliant.
I don't want to venture out and... how would I say it? I go out on a limb and not know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do.
School board, National School Board Members Day. So each of these, they had some little ceremony at school board meetings. And one of them, they had kindergarten students say what to school board members do. So they had a variety of explanations. One was they collect garbage. Another one, they take care of dogs. And the one they say for last, they are saving the world.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They're saving the world.
Good addition.
So we have team development. Any other ideas?
That covers a lot of areas. That does the job.
Okay, we're
Should
done.
You take a picture of that? Really? I'll take a picture of that.
Yeah, wow. That's all we're doing tonight.
That's it?
Yeah, that's
Lisa,
why.
Lisa, did you have come back to anything you wanted to add, Lisa B? No.
Oh, whether to change that to efficiencies?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, see, I need to give you my business card. You need to be out of touch with me.
That's at 3 in the morning.
I'll read your bullet point.
Yeah, no, that usually takes an hour.
I think your examples were very helpful.
Yeah.
No, that's why it ties into everything we discussed on the earlier one, so I don't think we shortchanged.
Mm-hmm. No, you didn't.
Right.
I just ended up telling you about that.
Tell us what happens next.
Nothing, that's it. Now, what happens next is I come back and work with staff to develop objectives and initiatives around these major themes, and then get back in touch with you guys and show you what we've come up with for you to enter in and to provide some feedback. So it's getting staff involved at the next levels down, drilling a little bit deeper, sending it back your way, seeing, and then also the mission and vision to fine-tune those a little bit, see what other improvements are needed.
Did you have any surprising results or responses from the various groups throughout the community?
Not yeah, that one comment about 60 to 85-year-olds.
Since I made that comment, my fiancé has got 3 ridiculously wonderful estimates for rebuilding our house. And it's so good, I feel really bad about just letting the house fall apart. But I'm getting into that.
To your question, the thing that popped up in my head was what you had said about just paying attention to underserved populations and difference in income levels and things like that. I don't necessarily think about that with a community in Glencoe, but yeah.
I've had the opportunity to do, for my regular work with in-home rehab services, to work in communities that make Glencoe look like it's an unbelievably depressed area. And those communities didn't realize the number of families they had living above garages and in caretakers' apartments, and how many kids were there. And when they realized that, people came out of the woodwork and said, we're taking all of our used hockey equipment, all of the ski equipment, and they made free banks for all the kids to do stuff. And all of a sudden, people got aware that there were people in the community. They wanted their kids interacting with all the other kids on as equal a footing as they could. Mm-hmm. And that was something that had just evolved in one generation's time into that community.
It's more than you think. New. It's kind mm-hmm. of,
It always is. Mm-hmm. Glencoe. Yep.
Yeah, the same. I'm working in Glenview, same thing there. They had mentioned, that was a surprise to me.
Or people that are overextended, like they want to live in this community so bad that they're mm-hmm. House poor, mm-hmm. as you say, and
Yep.
Or scholarships at school if mm-hmm. you don't know it.
Yeah. If you don't know it, and yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, divorces.
Hey, anything else from tonight that mm-hmm. anybody wanted to mention?
What are we going to do with you next?
Yep, when do you come back?
We have to talk.
When do you come back? Thank you. You really made this absolutely pleasant. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, you guys have made it absolutely pleasant that you're engaged. I mean, there's sometimes I'll work with the board and they're checking their phones the whole time. You aren't like that. So we have to talk. What was that?
We're exceptional.
He thinks we're exceptional.
You guys are pretty exceptional.
You are pretty, and these guys are too.
Thank you. I'll give you a dollar later.
We paid her to say that.
No, they did not. But Lisa and I will get together, and we haven't committed to anything beyond
the timetable yet.
We'll be back in touch with you.
Okay. Let's see how long the staff portion takes and when she's in town next. So
thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
8:00 at night.
We need a motion to adjourn.
Need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn or second or approve.
I need a second. Lisa is the Lisa and Steve. Steve and Lisa, I think.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So,